Good morning. Good to be in church. Yeah, I agree. All right. Praise the Lord. Hey, well, you know where we're going today? James chapter 3, okay? And I believe we're going to go through the entire chapter today, or the rest of what parts that we haven't gone through. And I believe God's going to give us wisdom and grace and how to get something out of this. Does that sound all right? Some of you know me. Sometimes I just read a chapter, you know, not here, but, you know, and I just say, all right, what do I need to see in that chapter? You know, it's kind of how I attack things a lot of times. You know what? Not too much different here this morning. It's going to read it. I'll tell you what I see God showing me. Okay. So in James chapter 3, I'm going to start in verse 7 because we've gone through the other verses. And actually this one too, but it makes sense to bring it in. It says, for every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Isn't that interesting? You know, even wild animals get tamed. You know, you ever been to a circus and seen a lion tamer? I went to a circus one time when I was in Haiti. You know, I was a missionary in Haiti back in the day, and I remember, you know, there was this big tent down the road, and I thought, well, looks interesting. I think I'll go to this circus. And I want to describe to you what a low-budget circus can be. The low-budget circus is that the lion tamer comes out, and they don't have a cage. They have him on a leash. And that's when you're saying, thank God I'm not in the front row. Anyway, so animals get tamed, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the mouth, same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Isn't that something? You know, we can get really excited about declaring, and I do, get excited about declaring who I am in Christ, you know, and speaking the truth of what Jesus has done for me, which I don't get me wrong, I highly recommend that. I do that every day, okay? But what James is saying here is, guys, we want to harness the power. Do you get it? We don't want to just like, you know, in, okay, this would be another one, just in church, glory, 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 you know, jumping over pews and all that. And someone said once, it's not how high you jump on Sunday, it's how straight you walk on Monday. You know? So that's kind of what James is saying here. You know, guys, it's so good that we speak who we are in Christ, but our tongues are powerful. And we want to use our tongues, you know, the way God intends us to. One man said it like this. He says, we need to make our tongues do their duty. Isn't that something? That was Kenyon that said that. Make our tongues do their duty. And can I be the first to tell you this? The only way we're going to be able to succeed at that is by the help of the Holy Ghost. Okay? No man can tame the tongue. I can't tame my tongue. My tongue does stupid things if I let it. But by the help of the Holy Ghost, we can bring them into subjection. Okay? Let me keep reading. You know, we need to learn to speak from our hearts, and that's where the good stuff is. It says, does the spring send forth, this verse 11, send forth both fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Question mark. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevines bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. And I would just say this, guys, you are, you know, if you're in Christ, this is what the Bible clearly says. There is no confusion here. If you are in Christ, you are a new creature. A new creature in Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's who you are on the inside. And what James is telling us here, guys, let's learn to tune into that new creature in Christ. Let's learn to speak from that well on the inside of us and not be moved by things out here, okay? How many know there are things out here that could motivate speech? You know that? But not everything out here do we want to motivate our speech? Okay, so this is the lesson that we're getting here from Pastor James. All right, verse 13, it says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Okay, I'm going to read on. It says in verse 15, this wisdom does not descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Isn't that an interesting one? Willing to yield. I don't always like to yield. Be honest with you, I like having the right of way. I'm learning to yield. It's been a process. I grew up in Minneapolis, and to my knowledge, we never yielded to pedestrians. Am I right? I'm telling you what, if you live in New York, you don't yield to a pedestrian. Are you kidding me? And I've learned here, living in Menominee, and with Pastor Stephen's help, that I yield to pedestrians. And, you know, it's getting in me now. I'm finding the groove. But here it is. James is saying, this is wisdom that comes from above. Ouch. Wow. Willing to yield. I'm lining up, folks. Full of mercy. Good for, now don't get me wrong, I'm not running people over. But I did live in Haiti, and that's what they did there. But anyway, full of mercy. You think I'm kidding? No. And good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And verse 18, he finishes it up by saying, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So in the next couple minutes, I'm just going to do my best to give you some thoughts on this last portion of James chapter 3. First of all, the main message in James chapter 3 is that we learn to control our tongues. That we get a bridle. We could say, James said it that way, put a bridle on, you know, and, you know, like a horse, you know, would have a bridle on and it would steer him in the direction. You know, we need to have that on our tongues and not just let our tongues, you know, and again, do not, can you say that? Say, do not. Do not get into condemnation, because if anybody's missed, we've all missed it, okay? This is not a sermon to beat you up and say how bad you've done. It's a sermon to say this is where we want to go. We don't care where you've been. We care where you're going, all right? And I've been the wrong place too, but I hear this and I go, okay, there is hope ahead. I'm going to move in the right direction. You ever been lost and then all of a sudden someone tells you the right way? Yeah. You know, you stopped in at the 7-Eleven and they said, no, you got to take a left on Morgan Street. Oh, the light comes on and I no longer am going the wrong way. I go on Morgan Street, you know? Yeah. So James, you know, he tells this, he says, you know, there's all kinds of streams out there. There's all kinds of influences out here, you know? And we don't deny that. You know, thoughts come to everybody. Can you hear me out there? Thoughts come. Good thoughts and bad thoughts come to every person. I don't care how saved, you know, if you've been saved 50 years and speak in tongues every day and help people, you know, in your spare time and do good things all the time, you get bad thoughts come to your head. You hear me? Can I set you free on this? The most spiritual people you know have to deal with thoughts. The Apostle Paul had to deal with thoughts. Oh, should I even go there? Jesus had to deal with thoughts. He was tempted in every point, just like we are, yet he didn't sin. So thoughts come, and here's how, you know, good thoughts and bad thoughts. So this is what James is saying. He's saying, hey, guys, there's good influences, bad influences out there, and you need to be aware. You need to have a filter in life. You need to know that not everything that comes in your head is from God, but some things are. And James is saying, let's learn to tell the difference. And, you know, when bad thoughts come in your head, you know, the thing is, one guy said this. He says, you know, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building nests in your hair. Yeah. Anyway. But can I tell you this? You see, thoughts that come to you have no power until you let them in. Okay? You know, I mean, I just don't let everything in my house. Okay? I mean, I don't let it in, you know. If there was a grizzly bear in my yard, I wouldn't open up the patio door and say, "Hey, come on in. Hey, we got pancakes. Have a seat." No. So when thoughts come, you know, that at first they come, you know, the best thing is we'd recognize them and just say, "Hey, I'm not going to think that. I'm going to think something else. I'll tell you what I'm going to think. I'm going to think what Jesus said. I'm going to think what the Bible says." That would be ideal. But when thoughts come, you know, and they linger in our head and we don't recognize them, they start to build a little home in there. Now, it's not too late, okay? But what happens is these thoughts come, and I'll just give this as an example. You know, I heard it this morning, and we've all dealt with this. Negative thoughts come about ourselves. And we start believing them. You know, somebody might have said something one time, but somehow a thought get in our head that, you know, we're not good, we don't measure up, and we start thinking that way. Well, here's the thing. Then we start talking that way. You know, when we start thinking and talking on that line, what happens is what the Bible says, it becomes a stronghold. Okay? Even when it becomes a stronghold, it can be broken. Okay? So I'm not leaving you hopeless, but I'm telling you how it happens. So the best thing would be is when we recognize a bad thought, we say, we're not going to do it. Not going to have that. My thought, my head is so full of what God says that, meh. You know, I like to say it like this. It's like a bug zapper. When Dana and I lived in Haiti, you know, bugs are everywhere. You know, that's the cool thing about weather like we have today. Is it's killing bugs. It's killing bugs. That's what I think. Yeah, I got up this morning. There goes some more. But we lived in Haiti, and they don't ever have this kind. Are you kidding me? It's like 90 to 100 degrees every day. Even in the winter, okay? And bugs thrive. I'm telling you, I could go on and on about that. But somebody sent us, you know, people would bring down all kinds of cool things on missions trips. And I remember somebody one time brought down a bug zapper. And that was like this light. It was like it looked like a big old light that we hung it on our porch, which was right outside our bedroom. And I'd go to sleep at night and I'd hear it. Bzz, 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 bzz. It would come up, these lights would come up to the, you know, it's almost kind of naughty because the light would draw them in and they'd come in and they'd, psst. I'm sorry, everybody okay with that? That's how I want your head to be. When bad thoughts come, it's like a bug zapper. They go, psst, psst. You know, that we're not drawing the bad thoughts in, but when they do come, I'm telling you what, they can't survive in the environment that we've created between our ears. Okay? So, you followed me there, right? All right, so James, in James chapter 3, that's what he does. He talks about the power of the tongue, and then he talks about, you know, the being able to tell right thoughts from wrong thoughts, and calling on God to have the wisdom to tell the difference. Basically, that's James 3 for you. So, I want to talk a little this morning about the power of your words when they come from your heart, okay? Because we can sputter off words, you know, at any moment. And, you know, some words have more power than others. Would we agree on that? You see, and the real power in words is when we learn to speak what God is telling us, when we learn to speak right from our hearts. Okay? That's where there's real power. That's where faith takes place. Okay, guys? Go with me. Matthew 15. Verse 10, it says this, "And when he had called multitude to himself, he said to them, 'Hear and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles the man. So Jesus, this is probably where James got some of this stuff. He heard Jesus talking. And then it says, then his disciples came to him and said, do you know the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? I'm telling you what, Pharisees are always going to get offended when people are speaking the truth. Okay, that's okay. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall in a ditch. Don't you just love Jesus? Go, Jesus. Yeah. Woo-hoo. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, you're still without understanding. Do you not understand? Whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated. Way to go, Jesus. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. Now that's the negative side of it, and we need to be aware of it. Okay? We need to not ignore it. Things that come out of from the heart and through the mouth, they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. And these things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So again, Jesus is just saying this, guys, and let me tell you a secret. There's power in what you say. You need to watch the words you say. Don't, you know, again, I love that James gave that example of the boat, you know, that he says your tongue is like the rudder on a ship. And again, you know, sometimes you might let go of the rudder mistakenly, but that doesn't mean the game is over, okay? You need to just grab the rudder as quickly as you can and get yourself on the course that you need to go, okay? See, I have to say these things because the devil is so mean. This is a topic that has such power that the devil works overtime to distort and to try to keep us from going to the place that we need to go, puts up roadblocks, tries to say, oh, that's crazy. There's not power in what you say. Let me tell you, there is power in what you say. You know, he'll take you, if he can't get you, you know, keep you from the middle of the road, he gets you on one side of the ditch or the other. And I'm telling you what, there's when the devil starts acting up like that, making a big shenanigan, I'm telling you, you got to know there's some truth in the middle of that road. Okay? Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, I love, this is a great verse. I was going to say it's my favorite. I have so many favorite verses. There's many, okay? This is one. He says, and since we, Paul says this, we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Paul was quoting something out of the Psalms. I think it's Psalm 116. And, you know, I like to think of it this way, that Paul was probably up doing his meditation in the morning, drinking his coffee. And you know, it was the perfect temp. Wow, did you see that? Whoa, we believe, therefore we speak. That's the same spirit of faith we've got. I believe, therefore I speak. You see, it's important. I think in the faith message, sometimes we went down a road, and it wasn't because of the faith teachers necessarily, but, you know, we're people are people, and I've done it. And we get on this road that, you know, we can have whatever we say, but we've neglected the part of it coming out of our heart. That it first has to be put on the inside of us before we can correctly and effectively speak it out of our heart or out of our mouth. Are you with me this morning? Yeah. This making sense? Yeah. Proverbs 16:23. This is another zinger. He says this, the heart of the wise. How many wise people are, well, I'm too humble to say that I'm wise. Oh, let me tell you what, I believe you guys are wise. It says the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. So in other words, wisdom doesn't just speak everything that comes into its head, okay? The heart of the wise will teach his mouth and say, you know what? I mean, this is exaggerating the whole process, but mouth, this is a good thing to say. This is a bad thing to say. Let's speak the good, okay? I mean, you know, you get the idea. This is the process we're learning. All right, let me read this. In James 1:21, I know this is chapter 1 and we're on chapter 3, but James kind of does this. he opens this subject up in chapter 1, and he elaborates in chapter 3. So I just wanted to go back to this today because I think it fits in with what we're talking about. He says in verse 21 of chapter 1, he says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Such a good verse too. My, I'm giving you all my zingers today, but all the zingers I know. But he says, receive with meekness this word of God, which is able to save your soul. Now, meekness is a really good word. It doesn't mean weak. It doesn't mean like if you grew up when I did, we used to watch Superman. Nobody here ever did that, right? Clark Kent was called the meek, mild-mannered reporter who would go into a phone booth and rip off his shirt, and he was Superman, you know? But, you know, so this word meek took on this meaning that it was just this mealy-mouthed person. That isn't really what meek is. Basically, it means being teachable, okay? It means to be teachable. It means that you know, I've said it this way, it's like the doorstop. You know, meekness is like the doorstop in your mind, in the will of your mind, that lets things in that you don't think you need. Think about that a minute. It lets things in you don't think you need. You know, I've heard that before. I'm going to tell you what, I could quote that. Let me tell you what, you need it. You need it. You know, there's a dangerous thing where people, you know, as Christians, we can do this if we're not careful. We can get to the point where we've been in church so long, just like Pastor Stephen said this morning, I've been to marriage conferences ever since Kara and I got married, and every time I learn something. You tell you what, I've been to a few marriage conferences. I've been to a lot of conferences, you know, since, you know, I've been saved for over 40 years. I've been in the ministry, I don't know, I forget, since 1982, whatever that is, okay? Somebody do the math. But any case, I've been to a lot of conferences. And do you think I go to a conference and every time it's just like, wow, that is something I've never heard in my life? No, most of the time I've heard things before. So there's a danger when you do that as a Christian that you get to this place where you think you don't need that. But the truth is, it shows me that you need it. You know what happens when I hear someone say, you know, if I'm at a conference, we'll say, and I hear them say, I'm going to talk about the love of God. You know, I've read books about the love of God. I God's talked to me about the love of God. And, you know, I feel like I have a good grasp on the love of God. But someone announces that they're going to talk about the love of God. You know what? It's alive in my heart. And I go, if you could see this, I'm standing on my tiptoes. I'm like, what? Come on, bring it on, bring it on. Or they say, I'm going to talk about being a new creature in Christ. You know, I could quote that in 15 translations this morning, okay? But that makes me go, yeah, bring it on. Come on, let's hear it, come on. You see, the dangerous thing is you go, oh, yeah, I can quote that. 15 translations, I don't need that. Don't go there, folks. That's dangerous. What it means is you need to hear it some more. Can I read a scripture? Paul talking, 1 Corinthians 8. Isn't it great when you say, can I read a scripture? And everybody goes, yeah, go ahead. That'd be fine. Like, thank you. 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 3, it says this. Paul said this. He says, now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. If anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Here, verse 2 is really the part. If anyone thinks he knows anything, he doesn't know anything yet as he ought to know. You know why? Because sometimes what happens is we know Bible facts, and they get, this is how far they get. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to have Bible facts and we need to have this kind of knowledge. But what Paul is telling us and what James is telling us is that it needs to go beyond here and it needs to be in here. Because this is where there's power, folks. When that word gets in your heart and then it gets in your mouth, that's when things happen. Mark 11, 23 and 24. You with me here this morning? Am I riding too fast? Okay. All right. We're going to ride slow once we leave this building, folks. It's all right. Mark 11, 23 and 24. Familiar verses if you grew up in the realms that I did. And for assuredly, Jesus is saying this, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he saith will be done, he'll have whatever he says. I like verse 24 too. It says, therefore I say to you, what things soever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. So here's my question this morning is who's this going to work for? Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good answer. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but that's an answer I might have given before too. I would have said maybe whosoever. But could I give you something a little further this morning? Who's going to move the mountain? Who's going to have this power that you can speak in a mountain move? Someone who believes in their heart and speaks with their mouth. Do you see that, folks? You see, it's not just... No. It's believing in the heart and speaking with the mouth. We can't forget the first part. It's got to be in us and then come out. Romans 10, 9 and 10. All right. It says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You see, being born again and everything else that Jesus bought and paid for works on this same principle of believing in your heart and saying with your mouth. How do you get it in your heart? Well, many times it's by speaking it with your mouth. You know, telling yourself what God says. Having intimate times with God where you talk to him about his word. You hear me? You know, when you're reading the Bible, don't just make it a sprint? Make it a marathon? I don't know. I don't want to even go that route. When you're reading your Bible, don't see how much you can read. But it would be good to just read, you know, like a little bit and then talk to God about it. Let him make something real to you. Sometimes I'll read a chapter, you know, like I said in the beginning this morning. I'll read a chapter and I'll look for what is highlighted to me. What stands out to me as I'm reading it? But, you know, and if I read the same chapter every day for a week, I would venture to say that it would be different things that would stand out every day. You know, because that's how the Holy Spirit works. He'll highlight things. You know, I've said this before, you know, but, you know, when my kids are little and growing up, you know, and sickness was come knocking on the door of the Carlson house. And you know what? Just because you believe in the word doesn't mean that it doesn't knock on your door. It happens, folks. And so my kids would be fighting some kind of sickness or something. Many times what I would do is this is, you know, we got to understand I lived in caveman days. We didn't have a computer even. Okay. In fact, I remember one time I had an IBM Selectric, what do they call them? IBM Selectric. Most of you won't know what that is. But I learned to type out these healing scriptures. And I had about 17 or 18 pages of healing scriptures in 10 font. And they would just be on pages, you know. Can you believe it? There was actually paper pages with words written on them. And I had these things. And I'd go to bed at night, and Dan and I would be in bed, and I'd sit up for a little bit, and I'd just read through them. And I knew these verses. I'd read them, you know, for years. But I'd look for the one that stood out to me. I'd look for one that just popped off the page. There was like, whoa, oh, that's you know, I didn't really do that. But I mean, inside it was like that. And I go, that's the one. That is what we're standing on right now. And then we fight our fight of faith. You see, but you fight the fight of faith because you got the word in you and it comes out your mouth. All right. One man said this, I believe it too. He says, the door to the supernatural swings on two hinges. Are you hearing me this morning? The door to the supernatural, I didn't say the spooky natural, I said the supernatural, okay? The door to the supernatural swings on two hinges, and it's believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth, okay? Believing it in your heart and speaking it with your mouth. All right, Jesus' words, Matthew 12, 34. It says, brood of vipers, don't you? Jesus, you're my hero. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Here it is, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you put in you in abundance is going to come out of your mouth, okay? So, I mean, inevitably there's going to be some bad things that try to filter their way in, but what you put in you in abundance is going to outweigh it. You're going through a trial. Find out what Jesus says. Find out what the Bible says about what you're going through. Let that be your meditation. Let that be where you fix your eyes. Then what comes out of you, you know, is what you put in you. Okay? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart will bring forth evil things. I say to you that every idle word men speak, they'll give account for on the day of judgment, for by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Whoa, Jesus said all that. My goodness. All right, three things. There's always three things in every good sermon, right? Three areas to check your thoughts and how you speak. This will be just wrapping it up. One, check your thoughts about what you're thinking about God, okay? Let this be a filter on your mind. As thoughts are trying to come into your head, you know, when they try to come in about God, know this. Pastor Stephen said this verse already this morning, but Psalm 34:8, it says this. The psalmist said, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. So without going into a whole sermon on it, God's a good God. If the thoughts coming into your head are, oh, God's against me, he's my... No, I tell you what, that's you stand up and say, no, that's not the truth. John 10:10, you know, Jesus said this. Again, I'm quoting Jesus. He says, the thief doesn't come except to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It is the devil that steals, kills, and destroys. Jesus came to give you life, all right? Think right thoughts about God, okay? Can I give you another? Second one of three is think good, right thoughts. I'm not even saying good thoughts, but right thoughts about other people, all right? It's so easy in this crazy world that we live in to make enemies out of people that are not our enemy, okay? And again, I'll give you one verse, Ephesians 6:12. It says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So as you're walking through life and, you know, you're walking through challenges, sometimes the devil works overtime to get our sights on people and make us think they're the problem. They're what's standing between me and what God has. Let me tell you what, those people are not your problem. Don't let them become the problem in your mind, okay? Think right. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Three, think the right thoughts about, you might guess this, yourself, okay? The devil, again, he beats people up all the time, trying to minimize them, trying to squeeze them into a mold. Think what God thinks about you. Now, I'm not going to read this, but in the book of Numbers, there's a tremendous story about the children of Israel. They're God's people. They're on their way to the promised land. And they got up to the edge of the land. Okay, where is this? This is in Numbers 13, if you want to read it. But I'm not reading it this morning. They got up to the edge, and they sent in 12 spies to check out this land that God had promised them. And so the 12 spies come back. Some of you know this story. And 10 of the 12 spies came back, and they said, well, it's true, this land flows with milk and honey, and it's truly the place that God has called us, but there's giants in the land. The people there, they are so big, so huge. And again, what did they do? They had wrong thoughts about people. Those people were not keeping them from the promise of God, okay? People never keep you from the promise of God. Okay, they don't have that kind of control. But then the next thing they said is this. They said, when we looked at those people and we looked at us, we were like grasshoppers in their sight. You know what that is? That's grasshopper mentality. Okay? You are not a grasshopper. Unless you're watching Kung Fu or something. Anyway. Again, I was back. Anyway, so you're not grasshoppers. You're not this itty-bitty little thing. You are people that are called by God to go out and take dominion over the things that he's called you to. Okay? Don't allow the devil to talk you into being something small when you're something big. And if nothing else, you know this, you've got the greater one living on the inside of you. Smith Wigglesworth was an English plumber that got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and went out and turned the world right side up in his domain. And he said this one time, he said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Sounds like he's going to explode. Well, I think he did. But what he's saying is, my goodness, there's I'm limited in my physical body, but I'm telling you that I'm the real me is the man on the inside, and there's nothing he can't handle because God's living in him. Last verse. I'm going to give this to you. Proverbs 20, verse 5. This is worth it. Listen to this. Knowing what is right is like deep water in the heart, and a wise person draws from the well within. Isn't that good? That's the Message Bible. Proverbs 25. I'm telling you this morning, you got a well of life in you. And all James chapter 3, really the whole thing he's trying to say is this. Guys, you got a well of life on the inside of you. Learn to speak from that place. Are we perfect? No, we're not perfect. Are we going to miss it? Probably. Just being honest with you, we probably will. But what do? We get up and go again.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for listening to that message. We hope that it was a blessing to you.
However you tuned in today, why don't you subscribe and maybe share with a friend?
Yeah, and if you're in the area, we would love to have you join us in person Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. right here in Menominee, Wisconsin. Also, we would be honored if you would consider partnering with us financially to help make this all possible, and you can do that at wearelovechurch.com.
These are great days to be alive. Thanks for tuning in today. God bless you. We love you.
See ya.